Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jack and Miles. Just checking in to let you know what you're about to hear. Not a standard episode of the show. These are our year-end review and holiday-themed episodes. So if you're new to the show, you can check back in the catalog for what the normal episodes sound like. And you can listen to this for our thoughts on the year. And we're back beginning of January with all new episodes. And I can't wait to talk to y'all then. Bye. Hello, the internet, and welcome to this very special holiday edition of
Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Oh my goodness, Santa! I'm Jack O'Brien, aka Potatoes O'Brien. I should have had a holiday themed one. That's the conclusion that I'm drawing right now. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
It's Miles, a.k.a. Jolly St. Spliff!
That actually hurts my whole back to try and speak that.
To try and do that? You're also, like, poking your whole torso forward.
Well, you have to, little Jack.
And we're also joined today by the super gang. Producers, super's producer, DJ Daniel.
It's your boy,
and
DJ Daniel Claus.
Hosnier.
It's your boy, Anna DJ Claus.
Damn it, Anna. We said Anna Claus.
Oh, my bad. I got confused.
Well, I guess we'll do it again. From the top. Love it.
From the top. Hello.
What a
guys,
time.
What a time, time to be alive. The time, in fact, is the holidays. And we wanted to just kind of do our annual check-in with the holiday spirit,
whatever that
as reflected by streaming content and film. I watched a couple of holiday movies, one by my lonesome and one with the children's yesterday to just get me steeped. But I think
good word choice.
Thank you. Very in a steeped in a. Hot mug of cocoa.
Hell yeah.
So, Miles, you wanted to kind of talk about the overall alchemy of holiday films. What makes them work?
Let's
what
get
makes
after them. It. I mean, this kind of happened because I think just organically, I can't stop watching holiday films. They're just so, I don't know, there's something about it that I can't just put down.
You are a Hallmark Christmas movie queen.
You know, as they say, a Hallmark hoe, you know, sometimes. Just because I'm out here for all the days of Christmas that they put out there. And it's just like, I don't know, I feel like it's a cultural phenomenon. And everyone kind of brings their own thing to it. And I want, rather than just being like, these are movies that suck or are good, I, you know, I really wanted to just like kind of, you know, vibe everybody out on the topic. Because, Jack, you sent an article around from Esquire that was counting down like the top 57 Christmas films of all time. Now, I don't know why that number is such, but right. like it's interesting how they, like how Esquire will choose to talk about it versus how I might want to talk about it. So I think on some level, in this list, the number one film is It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Just because I guess it's the like de facto thing that will always be on TV.
They seem to be going broad with this list.
Yeah. But I noticed like at the towards the top of the list, like in the high 50s, like some of the newer ones were in there, like A Christmas Prince. That was a Netflix film from a couple years ago, which is not a good movie.
That's but what it's I more, hear. I hear it's very bad.
Yeah, but it's in the it's in the vein of like what I like as a Christmas film, which is like very predictable bullshit, not right. like some good movie that has to do with like the Christmas spirit. And it's funny because when they write about it in their article, you can just tell like the point of view on it, which is A Christmas Prince is one of Netflix's first forays into the Christmas genre. And upon first glance, it's full on Christmas garbage. But if you really sit back and let go of the fact that you can literally, you can call literally every twist and turn, then you come to realize that A Christmas Prince is actually the perfect Christmas movie. There's no plot to follow or anything. It's just full on Christmas spirit, blah, 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 blah. So it, like the perspective that they have, I feel like is one that I feel is what all Christmas films should be. But that's why I want to ask everybody, right. you know, this one, they're saying like, don't worry if it's bullshit. But I'm like, isn't that what a Christmas movie is? But we're all bringing different things to this thing.
There's something super powerful about the iconography around, like seeing holiday decorations in a Christmas movie is like, it's just its own genre kind of, to the point that when they made a slasher movie, Silent Night, Deadly Night, it was pulled from American theaters for having like a Santa Claus figure that was a killer, just because, and like that shouldn't be the case. It's not like that's, you know, a sacred religious figure, but it's just such a core part of like American tradition that they were just like, no, we can't let this even reach people's eyeballs. Like,
holy shit.
Even people who would pay to see it. But yeah, there's just something powerful that allows you to get away with, I feel like you can get away with more. It's almost like it's a level of pornography where it's just like there's Christmas mise-en-scene and
right.
the storytelling can be and oftentimes is preferably somewhat predictable and not too like avant-garde.
Right, you're just purely there for the vibe. Daniel, Anna, what defines a movie for y'all? Because, you know, it seems like Esquire on one hand is like, what has the spirit? I'm like, what is the thing I can tune out the most that just is flashy Christmas lights? What is it to y'all?
For me, it's pure nostalgia.
Right. In what sense? Like that has to be old? Like the only Christmas movies you fuck with are the old ones? Or
no, it usually has to have like Tim Allen or Arnold Schwarzenegger in it.
So that's two okay. movies. That's yep. Jingle All the Way and The Santa Claus. And I salute those.
And those are the two movies that I brought in to discuss today.
Okay. Dan, what about
guide
you?
To Christmas movies. It's just Allen. Like a list of 100 that she's like, sucks. No Arnold Schwarzenegger and Tim Allen.
What
yeah.
is this?
You would pretty simple.
Where's Arnold?
I'm a simple woman.
A respectable man doll. Dan, what about you?
I feel similarly in the sense that I believe it's about nostalgia. I find that the more and more Christmas movies that comes out, it's just redundant and I don't care. At the same time, like Charlie Brown Christmas will never be replaced. I feel the same way about Jingle All the Way. I will watch those movies 100 times over rather than watching whatever the newest Christmas whatever is. That's
right.
I admit that's a hater take, but that's where I'm at with it.
There's no haters. You know, if you love the holidays, then you love the holidays. That's what you got to focus on.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But that is some hater shit. I'm not going
to. Yeah. Honestly, why are you even really, on the show? Just, get the fuck out of here.
You should have warned us if you're going to bring that just excrement into the show like that. But no, like the other thing is, I think I love the shitty ones specifically because it feels like I'm a kid again and there's no school. So I get to watch TV like at 1 p.m. and it's just bullshit TV that like doesn't make sense to me because I'm used to not being at. I don't know. There's like this sensation of the non-movie that is interesting, because it's also like the just kind of being it being on in the background, I think, is also like another holiday texture to me, is that there's the screen is strobing with like Christmas trees and lights and gifts and whatever. And then you're just talking to people, you're eating, you're drinking. And it's not necessarily that it's the focal point, but rather like enjoying the time off in the surroundings. And I just consider that a vital element to like the environment.
And let's go to break real quick before we get to that.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. I do have to say, I was kind of in that boat as a young man many a year ago. Like, after I had kind of gone through the phase of my Christmas movie life as a child, and then, you know, didn't have kids yet, I was just like, yeah, whatever, just the old ones that I saw. But now that I'm having to watch new Christmas movies, I do think there are ways that they've, like, stepped it up a little bit. Like the Grinch in particular is like one of the ones that's on my list. And also I just watched with my kids last night, The Christmas Chronicles 2, okay, in which Kurt Russell is Santa Claus, yeah, and Goldie Hawn is, Mrs. Claus. But they, one thing they've done in both of these is like, they create these, like the village, where the Whos live, or Santa Claus town, wherever the fuck Santa Claus
the North Pole, Jack,
I think it's called, yeah, the North Pole usually.
No, but they have like a specific, I think it's called like Santa Claus Village or something, but it's like this giant like Christmas light, Christmas tree, Rube Goldberg, like everyone's sledding everywhere, everything, like there's giant toy factories like weaving throughout, like it's they've put a lot of like visual imagination into it, whereas like my childhood version of Christmas movies or like the North Pole was just, you know, them putting things that were in present shaped boxes on a conveyor belt. Like it wasn't that like visually stunning.
Did you see, just for people who have seen the Christmas Chronicles too, I was really upset at the character arc of Belsnickel, the evil elf,
yeah,
who suddenly just became like a puppy at the end, even though he was trying to completely fuck Christmas up. I mean, that could be a whole other episode.
Dude, but spoiler alert.
Yeah.
No, well, he doesn't literally become a puppy. That would be funny, though. You're like, aww, he became a puppy.
So there are two very questionable decisions. Well, one that I'm going to focus on that I was curious if it jumped out to you, Miles. So there's a quick interlude where they're sent back in time. So that she can, the little child who is having trouble yet again with her Christmas spirit, it goes back and hangs out with her father when he's 13. Now, the one thing you generally don't want your children's movie to raise in your audience's mind is the question of why the main characters didn't stop 9/11. but they send her back to 1990, but it's at Logan Airport where the planes took off like 10 years before 9/11. And they're like, Santa Claus and this girl are back there. And I don't know, it's such a strange decision to set it at Logan Airport. Like,
right. With and all also these like planes. Kind of dark to be like, oh, your dead parent too.
Yeah.
Like, let's also have that. I mean, a lot of Christmas films have that, but. Also, you know, shout out to Darby Camp, who is the little girl in that, who's also Homegirl's daughter in Big Little Lies. She's Chloe in Big Little Lies.
Yeah, that's
fantastic,
right.
Fantastic performance.
Very good. Very fantastic. Good performer. Yeah.
All right. So, Daniel, Anna, what are your top movies?
I'm gonna back off a little bit on my hater take from earlier when I said Charlie Brown Christmas. I think that put a lot of my emphasis on like Christmas movies from my childhood, but Elf is another one that is just an absolute classic to me. I love that movie entirely. I think that might be my favorite Christmas movie.
It's great.
It's a great one. I think.
Why do you? I mean, I think it's fun and it's interesting. And James Caan being his dad is funny to me, but like
hilarious.
What is it for you? What's happening in the film that you are? It's resonating with you on the vibration of Christmas.
So I'm a big movie hater. In general, not that I hate movies. I just like, I'm so tired of every trope. Every trope sucks to me. So when it comes to Christmas movies, if the movie is about Christmas, I'm not with it. But if the movie surrounds like a Christmas scenario, but the movie is about something else, kind of, that brings me more in. I love Will Ferrell. The story itself is like, you know, at least an interesting take. You have snowball fights, you got ninjas, you got everything. Mm-hmm. Peter Dinklage, that movie's a winner.
Yeah,
it's just a good comedy that also is wrapped as a opposite. Christmas present.
I love tropes, you know, that like clearly because I like them. I'm hooked on that tropium, baby. You know what I mean? Yeah. I can't put it down. Anna, what about you?
Tropium Den.
I guess I should give some context as to why I've only ever seen two movies, which is Jingle All the Way and Santa Claus.
Anna is a bad elf who Santa cursed to only watch.
Unfortunately,
Belschnickel over here.
Genuinely never seen any other film ever. but it's because I did not, my parents are Muslim, or my mom is Muslim, my dad's secular, but we didn't celebrate Christmas growing up.
Right.
Like,
right.
There, it was like my parents around the holidays would like give us gifts because they were like, well, I guess you need something or you'll cry forever. So, I mean, that's the energy they were
comparatively speaking, I guess we should do something relatively the same.
Yeah. My mom was like, trees are messy and smelly. We're not doing that.
Whoa.
Look, I had a great childhood, just years of therapy to fix it. But, so basically every movie we watched is someone my father thought was funny. So yes, I've seen, okay, I've seen Danny DeVito movies. Okay. I'll admit that. So Arnold Schwarzenegger, Tim Allen, these are hit makers in my father's eyes. Okay.
Hit makers.
Anna, so they never miss.
Yeah, no, 100%. They don't. Have you seen Twins? Come on. That's. What about Junior? Arnold Schwarzenegger
Rick
gets
Rubin,
pregnant
Benny Blanco,
in that one. Okay?
Arnold Schwarzenegger, hit makers.
Yes. Right. And I will say the only other thing my dad watches is Gunsmoke and Golden Girls. Okay, that's it. I have zero cultural context for 90% of like any pop culture. So... So, I only really watched The Santa Claus and Jingle All the Way, and that is, I only really saw Elf recently. Didn't even know that was a thing until recently. I just knew, you know, there was this man.
Because that was awkward when Will Ferrell was in the office and people were talking about Elf, and you're like, what's that? And he thought you were joking. And you were like, no, what is, that's a movie? And it was very, like, we had to swoop
in. Yeah, remember when he explained,
she's fucking with you.
When he explained the plot and I said, unrealistic, Danny DeVito's not in it, unrealistic.
James Caan is your dad?
I literally said, perfect opportunity to cast Arnold Schwarzenegger. What are we doing?
I would have watched it. And the Peter Dinklage role. Come on.
I've noticed something, Anna. You're talking about your dad and how it relates to Christmas. And those, both of those films are, the father is the focal point about trying to do right by their kid or having a bit of a, you know, up and down relationship with their child, but really trying to bring it home on Christmas. Is there anything to that for you?
Damn.
I mean... Are
not
you
to
asking,
read you down to the studs, but...
Are you asking if my dad maybe picked up anything and learned anything from that? I would say no, he didn't.
I still don't have a Turbo Man doll, and but Sinbad is his best friend.
So yes, also Sinbad, huge in my house as well.
Oh,
my dad
loves
Sinbad. Love
Sinbad. That's why I kind of would, between those two, I think I'd give Jingle All the Way the edge over the Santa Claus, because Sinbad, just, there's that's such a good rivalry in that film.
Yeah.
True. So, Miles, what is your top Christmas movie? I feel like we're before the master.
Well, it all
Christmas movies.
So, I have to say, like, even though I like the bullshit ones, there are ones that I have to watch. Jingle All the Way is one of them because it's a movie. Like, I think I was 12 or something when it came out. I was like, "Yo, Ma, drop me off at the AMC North 6 real quick. I want to catch a flick with Flick." And we saw this movie there, and it was like, I really love that movie. That Bad Santa is another one, because even though it's not really like anything to
Santa.
Do with Christmas tropes, like, it's just so fucked up and weird and funny to me. And I've talked about this in past episodes. Like, it's just so, it does the scumbag thing very elegantly.
Yeah,
in my opinion. And now this is another. And my third one is Batman Returns, which is a very weird one. But at the same time, I think it's because it's so snow-centric, like on the visuals, that I am like, when I see it, it's very weird. It's an outlier for me, but I really fucking love that as a Christmas movie. And then and then there's just shit ones. Like, I can name infinite shit ones if you want to watch.
Like the Hallmark movies. And
Look, because there's a lot more diversity in like trash movies now. Like, we're getting more like LGBTQ stories. Like stories about families of color. There was New York Christmas Wedding that's on Netflix right now. That's about this woman who's about to have a wedding, but like a angel visits her and she goes back in time. Like, she lives in a parallel universe where she had actually like come out to her best girlfriend and expressed her love for her, and they were a couple together, and they had a life filled with like happiness. And then she's like forced to choose at the end, and it's really fucking weird and like an odd thought experiment to have in a Christmas film, which is like, what? And yeah, it's very, I mean, look, it's worth checking out because it's like, it's interesting, but it has like, it's doing something definitely different. Yeah. So that
sounds
one
like the identical plot to the one Hallmark movie that I've like actually sat through just in time for Christmas, where a woman like gets to live the life she would have had like in the future if she chose her career over her boyfriend, and then like goes back and is like, but you should choose your boyfriend because you don't want to be a lonely old spinstress. Am I right, ladies?
Yeah. What? Anyway, Merry Christmas, huh? Let's get out. Roll credits. And there's another one, too, because like there's even weird ones with black cast. There's one called Holiday Rush with Romani Malco, who plays like a radio DJ who's like balling, but his wife is dead. Because that's a trope, okay? Yeah. There's always a dead parent. You got the family. Yikes. But then he loses his radio job, and he still wants to have a good Christmas. So his family's, like, downsizing for the holidays. But he's also, like, trying to get back on top and getting his, like, back to his old roots as a radio DJ. There's just fucking, it's infinite. Yeah. That's why I just, more than anything, I encourage you to just have it on as, like, background. Like, don't get too, that's why I think this Esquire list is, like, shit you're going to stare at and like actually take in as content, versus a lot of, for me, it's like wallpaper, it's gift wrap for your TV.
They have It's a Wonderful Life at number one. I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life, but I believe I've watched the entirety of it through other movies, because every other movie, like, it's always on TV.
I've never seen it.
I heard it's all white people.
I think it's just in black and white.
No, never seen that one.
Did you guys
watch Arnold in that?
Arnold is in that.
Wait, hold on. Is Arnold Danny DeVito or Tim Allen in this shit? Who the fuck is Frank Capra? No, fuck that.
Though I will say, I have held James Stewart's Oscar for that movie. Because his daughter is a gorilla scientist at UC Davis, and I cat sat her cats.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. And she just casually has
in the house.
She just casually has his Oscars around.
Hey, that's guys, before we get to all the reasons that is the wildest thing anyone's ever said, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Do you guys have a like nightmarish Christmas movie that stands out to you as like
Scrooged?
Why?
Oh, wait. No. Oh, bad? Oh, I thought you meant like shit that felt like a nightmare, but it was Christmas.
Well, I was going to say, why the nightmare before Christmas, my friend?
Yeah. Is that a Christmas movie?
Probably yes. Santa Claus too.
I was really surprised to see on this Esquire list, Polar Express made their top 57. That is, I mean, I know people have talked about how the eyes are dead, but it is honestly one of the most uncanny, weird movies I've ever.
Yeah, you always point to this as like being haunted by this film.
Yeah, it's so strange. So obviously all the eyes are the eyes of like a dead corpse that has been. Dolls eyes, but they also do. You guys have read the original book, right? Polar Express.
I mean, yes.
Yeah, it's a classic.
It's on my shelf right now.
No.
And
well, wait.
Oh, really?
No. It feels like something people flipped through. Like if you didn't read it, it was read to you. Like I never read it. I just remember being like my school library, and it was like the Polar Express, and I'm like, I'm picking my scabs, not paying attention.
Wait.
And the illustrations are like very painterly and like pretty and. It's just about a kid who catches like a train is on a street in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve and like takes him up to see Santa Claus. And it's very like it's like having a warm cup of cocoa like that. That's the vibes that it gives you. And they turned the movie version into like a 3D ride in which like the train is like doing like loops and like going off of cliffs, and it's like a prolonged version of the train crash scene from The Fugitive. It's just like what it also features something that I just have to point out as the strangest voice performance in a movie that I've ever I sent you guys the link. Can you just play that so I can.
Who is this now? This is the main character?
No, this is just a kid who like has glasses and is kind of the his name in the credits is the know-it-all kid. It's just so strange.
Let's see.
Train this is. Well, do ya? Actually, it's a Baldwin 284S3 class Berkshire type steam. LE. What the heck does that mean?
That's okay. So this
that's,
is a
what?
This is
that a
film.
Men in Black character? That's right. Amazing.
Seriously. It's a film where people, it's not like everybody's doing a terrible Looney Tunes voice. Like everybody right. speaks like a person. And then this dude rolls in. It's apparently like a 50-year-old voice actor who they were just like, make a kid nerd voice at gunpoint. And he had never tried before.
What year did this come out?
It was like the 2000s, like the aughts.
Yeah, I'm looking at the sort of CG here, and I'm like, yo, this kind of looks like PlayStation 4. You know what I mean?
Like, it PlayStation's looks like doing that thing.
2004, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it looks like a cutscene from a video game. And, yeah, I don't... It's Zemeckis, and he was like, we are going to make it look exactly like the oil paintings in the illustrated book, and they just... woefully missed the mark.
Oh boy. Oh man. I'm trying to think of like what, like where the genre goes at this point, because it's weird. It sort of poisoned itself, at least the versions of the films I see, which are the ones Dan's talking about that we're just inundated with every year, where it's like right. 70 new versions of the same like agrarian versus urban America story.
Right.
And
there you go.
Like, I think it's also weird because it's just, it's sort of lack of flavor sort of became the flavor.
Oh,
if
yeah.
that makes sense. You know what yeah, I mean? And then it's such a weird thing that in its lack of form, specificity, just fucking diversity, that it's just like, I don't know. It's like this fucking thing. It's not, is it a movie? It's like watching like the ghosts of our culture in a weird way.
Yeah. Did you watch Happiest Season?
I did.
Yeah. I thought that was really good. And yeah. that was... It wasn't like perfect or anything, but it was
Kristen Stewart's energy, though, is I don't know if it's right for a hot, like she's so brooding.
Strange.
She's yeah. so brooding that it truly, I guess that's the difference. Like it's a fine film that is based around Christmas. But for me, like but it was kind of funny at moments where it's sort of Kristen Stewart still keeping her Kristen Stewart energy, but in a holiday film. So it felt like yes. an SNL sketch at
yes.
times.
Yes. Yeah, it really did. It felt like she was in a different movie
from everyone else.
What was going right. on around her. I still love watching her like in everything.
No, because she's so good. That's why I was watching. Yeah. I'm like, yo, this is throwing me off because she's like haunted. And these right. other people are like, so what's your family? What was your family like? And like, yo, this is so weird. This like feels like when there's like a real person in like Toontown or something.
Right. But they got so many of the details like of like going home and like being with your relatives and like you immediately return to like some dynamic from when you were in high school or whatever. And the dad, for some reason, this really got me because it's something my dad does, but the dad knowing the name of the hostess at their restaurant and like calling her by her name. It's like, it's like, no, this is great, Courtney. Thank you. Really good. But it's totally like Mary Holland, who wrote it, co-wrote it with the director,
so
is
good in it.
So good. And Dan Levy is so good in it.
Yeah, because he just gets to do his Dan Levy thing. You know, it wasn't yeah. like, hey, Dan Levy, just do this character. They're like, yo, just be you and just go where this takes you. Yeah.
Yeah. But for people who don't know, it's a like movie with a lesbian relationship at the core, and one of the women goes home to her family and she hasn't come out to them yet, and so her girlfriend has to pretend like she's her straight roommate.
Right.
Hilarity.
Kristen Stewart's
ensues.
Like character is her, one of her qualities is that she's a terrible liar.
Right.
So imagine Kristen Stewart, who like, you know, like there's a joke in where Daniel Levy's like, have they never seen a gay person? Yeah. Like when they're talking about Kristen
they
Stewart
never
and trying
seen
to play
a
hello.
Know,
right, right.
So
and like where suddenly they're like, who are you dating? It's like, oh yeah. man, like this guy. It's yeah. so bad. It
when,
went so
and
good.
There's a great Dan Levy scene at the end where he's trying to bro down with a guy who he thinks is hot. But there's also a good runner on the trope that I wanted to bring back up of orphans, because Kristen Stewart's right. parents died when she was 19, and they treat her like she is a orphan from a Disney film. They're like, "Oh, you've never had a Christmas before," but it's strange to me that like that's why I wonder if holiday movies are like one of the most American genres because it's like so specific to like things Americans are obsessed with, such as like being an orphan. You have to have an orphan. Right.
It's like our Eurovision, I feel right. like.
Yeah, exactly.
From outside, you're like, what the fuck is these fucking things suck?
Yeah.
People like this shit? And we're like, I don't know, man. Whoa.
And ghost? As somebody who wasn't like raised and steeped on this, did you ever have that moment where you were just like, what the fuck? I feel like I'm living a fever dream.
Nah, I think it's like, I don't know. Anna might be the same. I don't. There's some things became like exotic to me.
Yeah.
Like certain parts of American culture, like I'm just so into because they were so absent from my house.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh shit. Christmas lights like that, because I wasn't really, you know, like my house wasn't really like that, very festive or anything like that.
Yeah.
So that I think brought something out of me where like now, like I'm just like I'm fucked up now, and I need all the tropium I can get.
Mm.
Give me that tropium,
Anna. Where? How about you?
Mm? Yeah, I mean, I don't really normally watch Christmas movies or any movies without Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito, or Tim Fair. Allen. But yeah, I watched this one because, you know, I'm a fan of Mary Hall and I think she's really funny. And I think the majority of the joy from the film, outside of forcing a woman back, you know, it was just like the concept of forcing someone back in the closet was tough. But I did enjoy the casting of Alison Brie as like the older uptight sister,
so
who
perfect.
Just so funny the way she's like, I'm Sloan, and then turns away, like does right. not even ask right. what her name, what Kristen Stewart's right. name is, and then like
with
Mary Holland,
biracial family,
yeah, yes, exactly, yeah, the kids, you know, they're just so right. good at everything, and then like Mary Holland as just the sister who's only around to fix the Wi-Fi. Like, it's just like I thought Mary Holland like really yeah. brought some real joy into the movie. And I watched it because there were great like comedic moments like that.
Yeah, yeah, those keep you around.
What's Mary Holland most known for? Like, I know her as part of Wild Horses, but like, what would our listeners who aren't
She's a known improviser,
yeah.
comic
I mean,
actress.
Like,
she was in
Veep
as
nerd.
The wife of Jonah right. for, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, Mary Steenburgen?
Steenburgen.
Burgeon.
As the
she's
mom.
The yeah. great.
And
she's
the Aubrey
great.
Plaza is like,
great.
I haven't really been watching a lot of her work since the Parks and Rec days. And so, like, I haven't seen a lot of her where she's, not like putting forward a vibe of like misanthropy and like I hate everyone, and she's mm-hmm. so good and likable like in this role that like I don't know, I could see a career for that kid.
hey, keep tabs on that one, huh?
Yeah. But all right, well, that is Christmas movies, guys.
Yay.
Die Hard is one of my faves. Again, one where Christmas is just kind of the background.
Can I do an honorable mention?
Yes, mm-hmm. please.
Because it's kind of terrible, and also at the same time, like just it's called Noel. It came out in 2004, directed by Chaz Palminteri. Stars Penelope Cruz, Susan Sarandon, Paul Walker, RIP, Alan Arkin, and Robin Williams. And Robin Williams is uncredited. You have to watch to find out why.
Oh, wow.
But I recommend it. It's about the film centers on a bunch of strangers who all meet at random times because of a series of random events on Christmas Eve. Or in New York. I don't really know fully the plot. I can't recall off the top of my head. But I remember watching it. I know it was weird. It didn't have Arnold Schwarzenegger, Tim Allen, or Danny DeVito in it. So I was a little confused at first as to what was going on.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I called my father and was like, I've done something terrible. But, it's an interesting holiday movie it feels very much like a Hallmark film, but that has all these stars in it and is directed by Chaz Palminteri.
I have to, before we go, actually, I do want to get everyone's thoughts on Love Actually, because that does seem like it's the Rorschach test of Christmas movies, that like some people love it, some people are, I'm very indifferent to it and think the writing is bad. But it is like real syrupy goodness in terms of all the Christmas toppings.
Right. Yeah, I don't mind it. It's Her Majesty's favorite one, hands down. So
yeah,
it's obligatory. But then whenever we watch it, we're like, yo, these people are fucking trash though.
Right.
Like, real talk. Like, these are fucked up people. This is not good. This is all bad. Like, he's mistreating the fuck out of her.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, there's shit like that. But what movie, like, you know, you can be real about any movie. And find all the bullshit. But I don't feel strongly either. I'm pretty ambivalent when it comes to Love Actually.
Yeah. It does feel like the most it feels like a Christmas song.
And
that is a theme like in one of the stories.
Well, Christmas is all like around us.
And that's the way it goes.
I've actually never seen it because it has the word actually in it. So
you feel like you're being mansplained too.
I haven't seen it and I probably never will.
Because it's love.
I can't bring myself to care about anything.
I mean, the other cool thing is like I remember not watching it for years and then rewatching it, I'm like, yo, all these people are in Game of Thrones. And being like, yo, I thought he was just some bullshit.
That
yo,
is
that
true.
Motherfucker in Game of Thrones now. Like, yo, he did his thing.
That's funny.
All right, guys. Thank you. Thank you all for joining us to talk about holiday movies as we approach the holidays. We are going to be back every day that isn't Christmas Day or New Year's Day. This
every day.
Hopping on these mics.
This week and next week to tell you. We're going to do some year-end stuff. We're going to do some holiday stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
You know, Santa University's coming, too.
Can't quit you guys for that long. I got to leave you.
Can't quit you.
been a long time.
Academy Award.
Shouldn't have left you without a dope beat to step two. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
What is that from? I Can't Quit You.
It's from that song,
Brokeback Mountain.
Oh right.
I wish I could quit you.
And then like 1,000 bad jokes about Brokeback Mountain.
Precisely
referencing Brokeback Mountain.
Yes.
All That's right,
my
guys.
Mother's favorite movie.
That is right, isn't it?
I say this every time. She'll ride to the ends of the earth for that
movie. Good movie, great movie.
She'll fuck up a whole panel she's on to just commandeer it and then talk about how good Brokeback Mountain is. And it's like, we were here to talk about the impact
French
of like Kurosawa's like cinematic aesthetic on like subsequent genres. And she's like, yeah, but Ang Lee, I don't know if you've seen the story, is of two men.
That's why you have such that's why you have such patience for me and my like coal gas study and like repeating the same JFK conspiracy theory every time.
Love, that's how like, I show my love. No, man, I'm like, I have to give it space.
Yeah, gotta let it ride.
That's how I love him.
All right, guys, Merry Christmas. Watch some trash.
Whoa,
Christmas
whoa,
movies.
Merry Christmas! What the
happy holiday? Hey, we're saying Merry Christmas again.
Whoa, hey, if you don't like saying Merry Christmas, you don't have to watch. You can just not.
Get out of here, Joe Biden.
Happy holidays, guys. And we're back tomorrow with a whole nother holiday end of year episode. We'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Hey, girlfriends. It's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.